Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
This is Justin from Australia. I love three things: knives, bitches, and the DJ New Style Show.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit like every single day.
Fuck!
May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few ends as I breeze through. 2 a.m. and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home.
God damn it!
Bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 a.m. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too.
Fuck!
So turn off the lights and close the door. But what?
We don't let them hoes.
Yeah. So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hoes down. Why you motherfuckers?
Fuck me up, motherfucker.
Lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling
fuck!
Down the street, smoking and out, sipping on gin and juice.
Lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money
now
on my mind.
Back. I got me some secret gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. Now this type of shit happens all the time. You gotta get yours, but fool, I gotta get mine. Everything is fine when you're listening to the D.O.G. I got the cultivating music that be captivating he who listens to the words that I speak as I take me a drink to the middle of the street and get to mack into this bitch.
God
named
damn it!
She used to be the homeboy's lady.
Oh, that bitch.
80 degrees when I tell that bitch, please raise up off these N.U.T.s cause you gets none of these at ease.
Fuck!
As I mob with the dog pound, feel the breeze. Biatch up just
fuck me up,
lay
motherfucker.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, smoking in and out, sipping on gin and juice. Lay back.
Fuck!
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Later on that day, my homie Dr. Dre came through with a gang of Tango Ray and a fat ass Jake of some bubonic
fuck
that made me choke. Shit, this ain't no joke. I had to back up off of it and sit my cup down. Tango Ray and Chronic, yeah, I'm fucked up now. But it ain't no stopping, I'm still popping.
Fuck!
Got some bitches from the city of Compton to serve me, not with a cherry on top. Cause when I bust my nut, I'm raising the box to cock. Don't get upset, girl, that's just how it goes.
God damn it!
Hoes, I'm out the dough, and I'll be lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, smoking and out, sipping on gin and
juice. The DJ New Style Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey. Safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homo has been touching.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. No, no.
Hey, Donna! Did you try the coffee yet?
Oh, snap!
Yes. Welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. This is the DJ New Style Show. But hold on a second. There are Germans that like to sing and play instruments. Who are they? Good question. Here's the answer. Rammstein! Yes. Very nice. How's everybody doing tonight? My name is Ken. With me, as always, Frank the Germ Freak.
Hey, what's up, people? How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Frank? How's everything going for you? Everything going well?
Yeah, how's it going with you?
Yeah, it's going good. You know, can't complain. A little bit of a fuck up in the intro mix, but what can I say? You know, honestly, what can I say? What can I expect? Did you have a good weekend, Frank? Oh, by the way, you're not on camera? Oh, that's a shame.
No, I'm not on camera.
That's a shame.
And you're not going to put pressure on me to go on cam either.
I'm not. The listeners are.
Well,
people are saying, oh, man, no Frank on camera tonight.
Nobody gives a flying fuck.
People want to see your face. One of them actually is White House Brent. White House Brent.
Oh, God. White House Brent has a hard-on for me.
He does.
He really does have a hard-on for me.
He does, but not until he sees you on cam. So why can't you get on cam and arouse White House Brent? That's what he needs.
You know what? No, maybe later, but now you're building it up, and there's too much anticipation. Maybe later if I'm feeling in the mood.
If you're feeling in the mood, like someone after the show, you'll get on camera after the show.
No. So how was your weekend? Let's just have idle banter.
What? I mean, Frank, the show is idle bullshit. I mean, isn't that really what it boils down to?
Yes, but let's exchange pleasantries.
The thing is, see, let me tell you something. Fuck White House Brent for setting you in this mode. He's the one that caused you to question.
He's the
pleasantries.
One, absolutely. He, you know what? Ever since his little snide comment, It makes me very uncomfortable. I'm under a lot of pressure on the correct way to greet you or say hello.
It's like he stuck a splinter right in your ass.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, White House Brent. Thank you for everything. I hope you're happy now.
Thank you for defiling my co-host's ass so now he can't even rest. He can't even feel good about himself. White House Brent.
We get it. We get it. Germ Freak is annoyed.
Are you tired about this intro yet, White House Brent? Are you tired of this motherfucker?
Fuckface.
Week in and week out, fucking insulting you. Do you like that, fucker? Yeah, he gets it now. Okay, now he's tired of this, so now I don't know what to do.
Oh!
We have to go with the ebb and flow that is White House Brent. Excuse me, sir. Holy shit. Phases of the moon and White House Brent. That's what I say, Frank. But you asked me how my weekend was, and it was good. It was good. I don't want to say I'm kind of guilty in saying that it's good because my girlfriend lives a bit further from me, so we see each other. My girlfriend, by the way, is Amanda.
Oh,
you've met her. You've asked this question several times. I've answered it several more times.
I wonder if White House Brent is getting tired of that.
Yeah, White House Brent, are you tired of hearing the fucking name?
You don't want
me
asking her what her name is?
You son of a bitch! You fuck! I'm sorry.
We get it! He keeps asking her!
We get it! You hate everything we do! I don't even think he does. He makes one comment ever about our show, and now he's fucking public enemy number one. I don't know. You know what? I'm done with I hate White House Brent thing. I'm done calling him White House Brent. We all know he's White Ace Brent. We all know that's his name. But I didn't have any plans this weekend. And you know me, Frank. We have like a fucking agenda every weekend.
You have got an itinerary from top to bottom every goddamn weekend.
Every weekend. Absolutely right. Because me and Amanda see each other, and Amanda's my girlfriend. I understand. We go off on a tangent. I didn't know. I wanted to put it off. Didn't want you to have to ask the question again. But Big Red saves the day, says that she loves Brent. That's good. It's very good. But I feel a little bit guilty in saying that I had a good weekend because, Frank, it was the first weekend in a long time where I didn't have to do anything. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
You ever have a weekend where...
Every weekend.
You ever have a
time... Every fucking weekend I don't do anything.
But no, the thing I'm getting at is... A time in your life where your wife, Donna, is not around. The kids, not around.
Yes.
Essentially, it's just you left to your own devices.
As much as I love my family to death, when I come home, pull in that driveway, open that door, and there's not a soul to be heard, it's heaven. It's fucking heaven.
Now, Frank, I love my girlfriend.
Oh, God.
What?
Wow.
I don't understand.
You know, I got to call you out for a minute. I was talking to you on the phone, I think, a day or two ago, and you professed your love for your girlfriend. It made me very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
So what are you trying to say?
It just makes me uncomfortable. It's
what did I do that was so different? Did I fucking get down on my knees holding a cell phone, plucking petals off a rose? No, I said I love my girlfriend. What the fuck do you want?
It makes it awkward for me. What am I supposed to say? You said to me one time, I said to you that my kid was cute, and, isn't he? And
yeah,
you said, explain the situation, please.
I was leaving your house, okay? We were hanging out. I was leaving your house. You go over. Oh, hold on. You go over and pick up a fucking picture frame of your kid in a fireman costume and go, isn't my kid cute? Like that to me.
He was adorable.
Well, what the fuck?
Well, however you felt at that moment is how I felt when you said to me, Frank, I love my girlfriend
a lot. But I didn't say that.
Well, whatever the fuck you said.
I said it as part of something else I was saying. I didn't just say, you know what, cheeseburgers are good, Frank. We'll get back to that. I really love my girlfriend. No. I was pretty much telling you about how my weekend went. And yes, I love my girlfriend. She's great. Love spending time with her. Just like you said about your fucking wife, asshole, and you didn't see me cringe and fucking turn into a fucking six-year-old. Girls
are icky. No
matter
what you say, I've never taken a photograph with her near a love fucking monument in New York City. So let's just drop it there, fuckface.
Yeah, it's because you just started going to New York when you were 38. You didn't leave the Garden State until you were middle-aged.
But let me set this up. Like we said, Ken always has an itinerary. His weekends are nonstop. So for him to have nothing to do must have been great.
It was time off. It was time off. So I'm like, okay, everything that I ever said I don't have time to do, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to finish that website. I'm going to do my laundry. I'm going to do this and that. Everything that's been mounting up, I'm going to finally use the weekend to do this. And Frank, I didn't get one fucking thing done this weekend. I sat on my ass in my underwear for most of the fucking weekend playing Warcraft 3.
Oh, Jesus.
Warcraft, playing a fucking game from 2001 against fucking preteen Koreans that were defeating me every time.
You're awful. You're just...
I did get one thing done. I finished the Heroes Talk website, but I did that Friday. So yeah, the rest of my weekend was just fucking sheer laze until Amanda came over on Sunday.
But we
actually started doing something.
It must have felt good though, just to not have a care in the world for the weekend, the Saturday or what have you.
I woke up. I didn't have to go anywhere. You know what? It was good for a change. But I do like getting things done. She keeps she has the incredible ability to just create an agenda, to just come up with a handful of things to do. She'll throw it at me. She goes, why don't you plan a weekend for me? And I'll be like, I did. We're going to Panera.
So she'll
have a salad, and that's a weekend for me.
She's usually the one who sets these busy weekends up.
And I'm along for the ride. Oh. And I don't mind it. It requires zero thought. It's completely unfair to her. But you know what? She does it, right?
That's right.
So, I mean, pretty much, if you don't have to come up with an agenda, then why would you? I don't know, Frank. But did you do anything exciting this weekend?
I'm trying to think. We had a birthday in the family.
Did you have a birthday?
In the family.
You had another? Jesus, you aged that rapidly. You had two fucking birthdays in 1 year.
That's
amazing.
I celebrate the birthday of my wife, who turned 40 years old over the weekend. I believe it was Sunday, I think, or Saturday. I'm not sure.
Really? Well, we have a request actually being sent out to her from a mystery feedbacker. This is dedicated. This is dedicated to Donna from B. It just says B. Does this have a hook? So Donna had her 40th birthday, right, Frank?
Yeah, I have a wife. I have a 40-year-old wife. My wife, hi.
Listen,
I'm 39. My wife is 40. Hi, I'm 39.
Holy shit.
Oh, wake me up.
Maybe a time signature next time.
There it is. Okay, so B is dedicating this to Donna. Birthday Sex by Jeremy.
M-I-H. What a happening hip-hop song that is.
Yeah, it really
just
is.
It makes you want to get on the table and dance.
It's the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, God.
And I've heard kittens being drowned while you're running away. I've heard that. That's pretty bad. This is worse. So she's turned 40 years old. You have a 40-year-old wife.
I have a – it's and I know I do this a lot, especially when I turn 39.
How old are you, Frank?
Hi, I'm 39. I'm Frank. I'm 39. Hi, okay. I'm 39. Hi, my wife is 40. But listen to me.
Okay.
It's so difficult for me to comprehend the fact that I have a 40-year-old.
You just added on the fact that your wife's 40 in that. Is that something you feel you have to tell people now?
Yes. Hi, my name is Frank. I'm 39. My wife is 40.
Oh.
Hi, I'm 39. My wife is 40.
Now, is that a dig? Is that a dig trying to so that people know that you're the younger one?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a really – and this isn't a bit. I'm having a really, really tough time – comprehending the fact that I have a 40-year-old wife. I have a wife that is halfway to 80.
Yeah. What's the big deal? You're halfway to 90.
I remember my wife when she was the tender age of 15 years old. Okay? That was 25 years ago. Went like this. Listen to my finger snap. That's how quick it went.
That's pretty quick.
That 25 years is going to go just as quick. So before you know it, she's going to be 65 in no time.
So now your wife that you share a bed with is 40 years old, but you have distinct memories of her being 15.
Yes.
Do you ever project those memories at certain private times?
That would be awful and rude.
Do you ever pretend that you're asking to eat the rest of her fries?
you're gonna finish those fries? You're gonna finish those fries?
No, but listen to me, kid.
You know that sexy bedroom talk of you gonna eat all that?
You know what she said today? She said to me, it was the morning, and Luke climbed in the bed with us, and he wanted to just lay with snuggle or whatever.
Whoa!
And Donna says, well, sleep, go next to Daddy. His stomach will feel like Jell-O.
Well, she knows how to get you.
But anyway,
so it was her birthday, and apparently you lavished her with gifts.
I forgot to get her a birthday card.
What did you get her for a gift, though?
Oh,
you did get her a gift, right?
I got her a very nice gift. I got her a very nice piece of
fruit, mango, perhaps just one mango.
No. I bought her an arm, you know, familiar with an armoire? It's our jewelry armoire.
I'm not well versed in French, Frank. Yes, of course.
Okay, it's a cherry wood, like it's like 5 feet high. She could put her fucking jewels in there.
Jesus,
and I got her that.
Okay, so you got her a jewelry box.
It's
don't,
not.
You don't have to fucking project.
Hey, fuck face.
You don't have to project a grandiose description.
It's not a jewelry box.
Thing.
It's 5 feet fucking high, for Christ's sake. It's like a fucking tower, for
Does
Christ's sake.
Does it have
sake.
Four walls?
Four walls.
Does it have four sides?
Yes.
Does it have a top?
Yes.
Does it have a bottom?
Yes.
What goes in it?
Jewelry.
It's a jewelry box. Stop with the fucking, I got her a very nice cherry Brazilian rosewood armoire.
Hey, fuckface, listen to me. This is not a jewelry box. This is an armoire. It's 5 feet
high. Does it have a dancing ballerina on top? You cheap fuck.
No, it does not. No,
the only reason
not.
I ask is because there have been years that have gone by where you didn't get her anything.
So whatever.
You splurge and you got her something, but you mentioned that you didn't get her a card.
I did not get her a card.
Is that something that bothers you?
Does it bother me? No.
Is it a concern? You brought it up.
Well, it was Saturday night, and I realized I didn't get her a card, and her birthday was Sunday.
You wrapped it up the night before?
No. Well, she kind of ordered it herself.
Okay, she ordered it herself.
Yes.
Did she order something to go in it?
No.
You just got her a fucking wooden box.
This,
said,
it was.
Here
it
you
was,
go.
This, hey, ding dong. It was an expensive.
You basically you gave her.
It was an expensive piece of furniture.
Sure,
you call
sure,
it.
That's right. Yeah, I love giving people gifts where basically they have to take a weekend and organize their life. Here you
anyway,
go. Here you go. Waste a couple days sorting your shit out with this new thing.
It was Saturday night, and it was about 11 o'clock. Her birthday was on a Sunday. I said to myself, "Oh shit, I didn't get a card." So then I walked upstairs and says, "Donna, would you be mad if I didn't get you a card?"
Honestly, she probably said no, but did you think that she wanted that card?
She said no, that she would not mind, and I think she didn't bother her that much.
Frank, if you get a gift, do you give a fuck about a card?
I don't give a fuck.
If I get a card, this is me getting a card. Okay, sure. That's a good one.
Wait, what
and then
percentage?
I open it.
Do you actually read the entire card, or do you pretend like you're reading it?
You have to at least get the gist. If it's a joke, you fake laugh. If it's something where there's words double underlined, that means they really mean it. So it's a sentimental thing. So you go, "Oh, that's nice. That's really nice." Or you. Oh, that's a good one. And then you here, take a look at it. And you pass it around to somebody and hope it never gets back to you. So you don't have to throw it out.
So this is what I...
Because I'll tell you, I feel bad throwing out cards if it's from somebody like if it's from Amanda, I would never throw it out. From my family, never gonna throw it out. If it's from somebody at work, I would throw it out in a quarter of a heartbeat right in front of them. A card is the worst thing ever. Fuck a birthday card.
I always have the habit of looking at the back of the card to see how much it is. Always.
Yeah. Here's something coming in from Kent the Movie Guy. He says, "If a card doesn't play music when you open it, I don't give a fuck." Let me tell you something on the contrary, Kent. If you have a fucking card with a gimmick in it, like some kind of a pop-up story or a 17 fucking page leaflet that folds out like a goddamn travel map, or the worst is the card with the fucking music. Oh, it's great because it says birthday in the song. So when you open the card, it plays the song. That's awesome. Throw it out. Why waste your money? I don't think there's a guy out there that gives a fuck about birthday cards. And I'd honestly say that you're a little bit of a flame. A little bit of a flame.
Excuse me? So I said to her, I says, "Listen, would you be mad?" I says, "You know, it really, I mean, the cards are really not my words anyway, so it really wouldn't matter." And that's how I tried to diffuse the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. You buy a card, it's got some canned phrase that some starving copywriter fucking scribbled into a pad and got published.
And even buying a card for a wife or a girlfriend, I'm still embarrassed to be standing at that rack.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You look for anybody. Anybody, Frank, you go if you know you have to get a card because maybe you're not getting a gift, so you're getting the card as the gift, which is like the ultimate hustle in birthday history. Like, "Here, I got you this pretty colored piece of cardboard in an envelope, and this is your gift." "No, really, take it. It's all yours." I'm standing at this fucking rack of cards. Now I'm looking. I'm like, "Oh, my God. There's ones that I love you. There's ones with frilly fucking gold leaf on it and shit. There's, like, really romantic ones. There's, like, nice ones with fucking transparencies on it and shit." I go to the dopey joke card every time. I don't even analyze the joke. I make sure it doesn't imply homosexuality. I make sure it doesn't say that I love the person. If it's just a standard joke, whatever, a cartoon thing, put it in the bag. Walk out, right? "Happy birthday, first name. Enjoy yourself. Happy birthday, first name. This is for you." Yes. You didn't get a gift, but you got this. I took upwards of 180 seconds to pick this out just for you. And I even got a matching envelope and wrote your name on it.
The most embarrassing time of ever buying a card is when you're a teenager and you have to buy your mother a Mother's Day card. That's beyond embarrassment.
Well,
it's
why is that embarrassing though? Because
it's just embarrassing because you don't want to. You know, it's just. I don't know. It's sort of like the same situation where, when you get to be a certain age, you know, you're embarrassed to be seen with your parents, like when you're in high school or whatever.
I guess there's a degree of that, but I mean, it's a lot different getting your mom something because pretty much you could get her anything. You could get her a "Sorry I Killed the Cat" card for Mother's Day, and as long as you write "Love you, Ma" on it, It's going to be fine. But getting something for a coworker or someone you really generally don't give a shit about, but you have to get a card, that's where, like, you have to toe that line. You have to look at everything, consider the possibilities. They're going to be reading this. Is this person a card keeper? Is this person going to be the guy that tapes a birthday card up on his fucking cubicle or whatever, and it's going to be there for a while, and it's going to have my fucking signature on it? In that case, you have to make sure that you give the most bland card ever, just so that you don't be remembered for having given that. So the bizarre joke, the stupid overdone one. But when's the last time you've shopped for a card?
Actually, we did get a card. I took the kids and we got a card for my wife when it was Mother's Day. We bought her a card. So
it seems like there's recurring themes with the cards. There is a card for every occasion that includes the fat gay guy wearing the jean shorts with his ass hanging out. Halloween, Christmas, they put a fucking Santa Claus hat on him. It's a Christmas card. They put a pumpkin in his hands. Like, they photoshopped the shit out of that. I mean, they must think people fucking think this is the greatest thing ever. A homosexual standing with his ass hanging out of jean shorts. It's the same fucking card every time. Going to a Target right now, I guarantee you, you'll see that card. It's everywhere. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not funny in the least. None of them are funny. I've never found a funny card. Ever. Ever. And you just fucking, you just pick it up, sign it, and give it to the person. I don't want cards, Frank. Do you want cards?
I don't want cards.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst. Sometimes there's something written in a card. It's very nice. Very nice. Most times, when you can tell people are doing the same thing that you would do with a card, happy birthday, first name.
Now,
Why did you bother?
Are you the kind of person who, at the top of the birthday card, will put to the and then the person's name, and then you put the date? Do you do that kind of crap?
I write first name. I write well wish for the appropriate event, first name, and then dash Ken. Every card, happy Halloween.
That's
happy Easter. Happy
that's real
birthday. Happy congratulations. My bad. I don't know. I mean, whatever it is, first name. Because I don't know what to write in the card. I mean, if I'm genuinely moved by something, I'll have something written in there. But in most cases, a card for me is really just like, because it's now become the convention to get somebody a card. Get him a card. What's wrong with you? Get him a card. Oh, okay. I'll get him a card. This will be like fucking medicine for their soul. They'll open this thing up and instantly be uplifted from having seen fucking Snoopy sleeping on the roof of his doghouse. I will forever make their fucking day. 316-768-4472. You are on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
This is Found Your Music Jeff.
Found Your Music Jeff from The What Show.
Oh, what's going
brand
on,
brand new member
Jeffrey
of the Heroes Talk Radio Network, 9:30 to 12:30. Friday nights, heroestalk.com. What's going on, Jeff?
I hate a card.
Yeah, me too.
I hate a card. First of all, it's a one purpose thing. Once you get your card, you can't reuse it.
No.
You can't re-gift it, you can't write on it. It's just completely useless. You might as well throw it out.
Yeah. It's about as handy as toilet paper. Except a card will only make your ass dirtier. That's what I say. You'll want to shit because now I have another card to open and pretend to like.
You know what insults me even more than a card? An e-card. Not only do you dislike me by giving me a card, you don't even have the time to go out and buy one yourself.
Yeah, you're a real hero. You picked out an animated GIF, attached it to your fucking Hotmail, and now I should feel congratulated. I don't want your card.
The cards that I know are free because they don't want to spend the money on the ones that actually cost something.
Yes.
So it has absolutely nothing to do with the occasion that they're setting it for. It's like, congratulations, it's your birthday, and it's like a penguin with a goofy hat.
Cause you like penguins, and sometimes they'll try to work it in, like, "Oh, but I knew you liked March of the Penguins, so I figured you'd like, Like, really? What? Why would you send an e-card? And even worse than the e-card, I'm going to say the e-vite. Just call me, okay? And if we haven't spoken, Jeff, we haven't spoken about the event, you know what? You're sending a blind invitation online. I'm very into technology. I'm not down with e-cards or e-vites. No, those are two things that must remain personal. The card,
I'm surprised you get them because you never go anywhere.
I don't.
Oh!
Believe me, I get them. I get them, but I don't attend. I don't attend.
This is an active futility. Like, okay, I might as well put Ken's email on this e-vite.
Let's see, who else should we add? Okay, Barack Obama, the Pope. who else isn't going to go? Oh, Ken's not going to go.
Email for me.
Let's throw him on. Wow.
Well, Nick Claus always shows up for the party.
Yes. Well, a fuck a card is what I say. Now, Jeff, if you get a gift for somebody, do you always get the card?
There are people that if I don't get a card, for whom I don't get a card, like my parents, I will hear shit.
And why? It's now become the convention. I've given you a thoughtful fucking gift. I've presented it to you. I'm here. Do you really need shoebox greetings to fucking validate this gift transaction? Why?
What about wrapping? What's your opinion on wrapping?
You gotta wrap the gift. You know what? When you get a gift, like I could ask Donna.
I hate people who go to the store and just give me the gift and it's like just in one of the store bags and they just hand it to you.
Let me tell you, I have definitely done that. And you try to spruce it up, maybe you tear something up and just throw it on the top. There's no hope. It's like, listen, I have 10 minutes to wrap this gift. They're going to be waking up. I have nothing but fucking Wednesday's newspaper and a fucking ShopRite bag. I better get a fucking Sharpie, write happy, whatever, and shred something and throw it on the top. But
my mom, she's very lazy. What she'll do is she'll take a piece of gift wrapping, fold it in half, and then use that as the card.
Oh, boy. Oh yeah, yeah, and the very essence of the card is to : Jeff from : Mom.
Yeah,
just so you know,
people wrap
so
gifts in newspaper because they're too cheap to go out and buy regular fucking gift wrap.
Oh, but they could read it, or they could look at the comics or something. But I imagine Frank. Sometimes you just like your wife just buys her own gifts. Do you think she gift wraps them for herself?
Yes, she does, especially on
Christmas.
Oh,
God, that's the saddest fucking thing I've ever heard.
No, listen to me. I think we mentioned this. She gifts wraps them up so the kids think that I wrapped them.
Yeah, but what about her birthday? Did she wrap that for herself?
No, she did not wrap that for herself.
So she ordered something well in advance. You made the fucking empty gesture of saying, well, did you even touch the box or did you just point at it and say, here? Like, what did you have to do with that fucking gift?
I did nothing. The UPS driver delivered it, left it on the front porch, and she dragged it up the stairs.
Don't you think she'd want to open something?
Frank, why don't you just get her a gigolo for the weekend so she can pretend to have a husband who cares?
God, after wrapping all these gifts up, it's starting to get a little hot in here. Yeah! Start stripping in your fucking kitchen after he's cooked a meal and wrapped up a gift and given a card.
Now, Ken, do you know, Frank, you're a very anal person. When you do wrap gifts, do you make sure to expertly wrap them as one would get in like a department store, or you just like
I do Charlie Brown
with,
wrapping
like, duct tape or something?
My rectangular boxes that I wrap end up being like a football. I'll just take I take the entire fucking roll and I just fucking scrunch it up like a, it looks like a peppermint candy basically. I have a knot on the side. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Jeff and Germ Freak. Who's this?
Hey, this is Gambit.
Gambit, what's going on, buddy?
There is no point to sending a greeting card along if you send a gift.
And thank you.
I even take it to the next step. When I give gifts now, they all go in gift bags, and the second the person discards it over their shoulder, I fold it back up and I bring it home to use again.
Nice. See, we do the gift bag thing, and I had given my niece a gift in a gift bag, and I figured, I got a card. Kids don't, I have a gift, don't need a card. Kids hate cards anyway. Whatever, just give her the gift. So we're at her birthday party, and she's opening the gifts up in front of everybody. She gets to my gift, opens the gift up, loves it. She's, oh, thank you, thank you. Her father yells at her for not opening the card first. You open the card first! Open it! She's like, but there wasn't any! And I had to immediately fess up and point out that I wasn't considerate enough to give the card.
Can you ever... You ever get those cards that are like 4 feet tall?
No. God, that sounds like the worst thing I've ever heard of.
They're like two pieces of like poster board.
What are you?
There's like a hinge in the middle.
You've gotten one of these?
Yes. Enormous cards.
Who? With what kind of a gift?
It was for a Jewish holiday. I forgot Purim or one of those.
Oh, my God.
Not that it's a Jewish tradition or anything. It was just an enormously large card.
Yeah, well, at least you can rest assured that for that event, they probably got it at a discount. So that's good. And you can just immediately throw it out. Fucking oak tag cards. Thanks. Now I have to really move my eyes when I'm fake reading this thing. I have to have my eyes shift 3 linear feet just to pretend I've absorbed your message I don't care about. Holy shit. Well, Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You go to thewhatshow.com. That's thewhatshow.com. Friday nights, hearustalk.com. 9:30, 12:30. Jeff, thank you very much.
No problem. And I'll be seeing you Friday, right?
Yes.
Take care, Jeff.
Goodbye.
He says Friday, Frank. And do you know what Friday is?
I do know what Friday is.
Friday is July 24th. That's the Vagabond Souls at the Bitter End. You're going to attend? Is that right?
I am going to attend. I sent my invitation in.
Then you can tell everybody about the event.
What you have here is Dominic is having a new record released, and he's going to be playing with his band to promote the new record, and it's going to be hosted by none other than the star-studded individual known as Barbara.
So she's a star-studded individual? Normally, an event is star-studded with, like, many stars.
That's the best I could come up with.
Well, it's the Vagabond Souls at the Bitter End in Manhattan. I don't know the fucking address. I know there's the word Bleecker Street in it. So go to myspace.com/thevagabondsouls and check them out. They're very good. They're very good. Frank, I mean, I didn't want to impose or anything like that, but I'm having a birthday.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'll be turning 29 on the 25th.
Oh, wow.
Hi, I'm Ken. I'm 29. Hi, I'm Ken. I'm 29 years old.
Hey, you always classify your birthday as being the greatest day of the year.
You mean the greatest day known to man?
Yeah, why do you do that all the time?
Because it's done in sarcasm. Birthdays generally don't mean anything to me. I'm not the type of guy that...
Oh, so you're just saying that because... And really, you don't give a shit about it, but you're just saying that? Is
yeah,
that why?
Yeah, I mean, a birthday's nice. You get together with people. You have maybe a cake. You open a couple gifts. But, like, honestly, I don't get that excited for it. I don't even tell people what I want. Like, people ask me, what kind of stuff can I get you for your birthday? Like, my family. I'm like, I don't know. Don't get me anything. I just told my sister tonight, bake me a pie. And she's like, oh, Jesus Christ, really? I thought it would be easy. You buy some apples and put a fucking pie together. I don't know. I thought I was doing her a favor. Now she's got to go through the whole ordeal of making a pie. I don't want gifts. I don't understand the...
You feel awkward accepting gifts at your age.
I'll accept them, but I feel awkward. I feel awkward putting together a gift list for myself of things that I want.
Yeah, it's a little tacky.
I mean...
Wait.
But listen, I've done it because people, you know, during Christmas, people want to get you something.
You have done that during Christmas.
I have. I didn't publicize it. It was under my name that I don't mention on here, and it was only sent to family members. It had like a few DVDs on it and some stuff. I don't know. I put it out there, and they can get their Christmas shopping done, and they feel better about it. So
how do you feel now? That. This is being your last age in your 20s. Is it affecting you whatsoever?
I don't know. It really doesn't. I don't feel like... Like the world's ending. I don't feel like
wait till next year.
A tunnel closing. You are so concerned with age, Frank. I don't understand.
And I'm sick of those people who say it's just a number, okay? Bullshit.
Frank, it's just a number.
When you're in your 20s, when I was in my 20s, okay, it was the best time of my life.
Why?
I thought I was
– Why?
Because you're young. You're vibrant. You're a young adult.
Young.
Listen to me.
Let me tell you something. What the fuck does young mean? What does young mean to you?
Don't give me that bullshit.
What does it mean? What does it mean? How can you be young one day and all of a sudden, 24 hours later, because you're 30, you're not young anymore?
It means you're chronologically young. Don't give me this crap.
It's bullshit.
Is how you feel.
But you are afraid of being in a different demographic.
Pardon?
You're afraid of being put into different demographics. That's what it is. You still want the Girls Gone Wild advertisements directed towards you rather than fucking... I don't know, Ensure and fucking therapeutic shoes. You don't want those things put at you because you feel old. But Frank, it is so oversaid, but how do you feel inside right now? Do you really feel ancient?
I still have the mentality of a 15-year-old.
Yes, and you always will because you're constantly, I don't know how you've lived a life where you can experience the very most basic things that a human can do and have it be the first time at 40 years old. Like, there are firsts that you're doing every single day. Like, oh, my God, I've never signed up for an email account before. I've never consumed alcohol to the point of excess. Like you still have an air of discovery to your life.
Right.
So you can't feel old.
But let me just finish my point, okay? When you're in your 20s, you think you're always going to be in your 20s. You can't imagine being older than that. And, you know, well, whatever. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Anyway.
Listen. I don't necessarily feel incredibly young. I feel a little old, and you know what? I feel like I should feel like this. I'm fine feeling the way I do. You know what I mean? So I've come to terms with age as a number and it correlating to how I currently feel and appear and everything like that. So however old you are, it doesn't fucking matter. You're just hung up on it because you don't admit it, but you really give a shit about public perception. You really do. Deep down, you fucking do. And you that's why you tell people, hi, I'm Frank, I'm 39. Because you want to just get it out of the way and not have some big reaction. Like, people are going to be, 39? Oh my God, are you walking the streets? You should be let off to be slain.
What I'm obsessed about making these scenarios where I say to myself, you know, that I'm halfway to this or I'm a quarter. You know, like when I said to before, you know, I'm going to be halfway to 80 next year.
Yeah.
I cannot stop with these scenarios in my head. I'm obsessed with it because I keep saying this over and over again.
Yeah.
I know how quickly my life has gone by, and it's going to go by just as quick in the next 40 years, and I'll be 80 in no time.
Yeah, you know why it's going by? Because you've lived every single second and moment of your life saying, oh my God, where I am is the worst place I could possibly be. If only I could be back 2 years ago where I was worrying about where I was 2 years ago. You're always worrying. You're never collecting any positive moments.
My wife said that when you're 39, you really don't enjoy 39 because all you're doing is anticipating and dreading the fact that you're going to be 40.
You've been worrying about turning 40 for the last 20 years. That's the fucking fact of it. You're already worried about turning 80. Do you understand that?
I'm worried about that, yes.
And I hope you get there, Frank. I hope you do. And if and when you do, you're going to say, oh my God, I'm going to be 85. And you're going to say, what happened to these 80 years? Oh, they flew. Because you've spent them all fucking worrying about what a fucking...
Hey.
The date is...
Let me make my point. In 1986, I went to the movie theater and I saw a movie called Ferris Bueller's Day Off in 1986.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in 1986, during that movie, they played the Beatles' "Twist and Shout," where I think the actor is on a float somewhere in Chicago. Okay.
Yes.
Now that song came out approximately 20 years prior to that, and when that happened in 1986 and you hear them playing a Beatles song, you're like, holy shit, Beatles, man, that's like so fucking long ago. But the fact is, the point of 20 years prior to 86 is the same as it is from 86 to 2006. It's the same 20 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is the following. Time goes. Let me explain my thoughts. Okay, for 1980 to 1960 seems like it went a lot slower than 1980 to the year 2000. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Explain.
Do you understand
a
what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, I don't quite get it.
All right, let me finish. There's a movie out there, and I know it's been talked about on other on radio shows and whatnot. But there's a movie called Back to the Future. Which came out in 1985, and by the way, that was the first movie that Ken saw in the movie theater, I believe.
Yeah.
But anyway, it came out in 1985, and it was set in 1955. Okay, so it took place it came out in 85, and it was set in 1955. Okay, 30 years prior. Okay, now when you think when I was watching that movie in 1985, and they were talking about things from 1950s, I was like, oh my god, that's so long ago. But the fact of the matter is, it's almost going to be 30 years since that movie came out. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I don't think I get it. I don't understand.
What I'm saying, let me try to explain it. Okay. In 2015, it's going to be 30 years since that movie came out.
We get it already. Things happened 20 years ago, and they'll continue to be. I don't understand your fucking fixation with this.
All right. Let me give you one more example.
Do you want to age in a world where Back to the Future is always 20 years ago?
Let me explain something.
I don't understand.
In 1978, I went to go see a movie by the name of Grease, starring John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia who?
Now, Newton-John.
Oh, okay.
Now, this movie came out in 1978, and it took place in the 1950s, 20 years plus or minus prior to 1978. Now, when I was watching that movie in 1978, and they're showing like commercials from the 1950s and songs, you're thinking, oh my god, that was so long ago. The 1950s, and it's 1978, and the 1950s was so long ago. But for Christ's sake, that was only 20 years prior. 1978 plus 20 years is 1998.
We all get it. We fucking get it.
Right.
You look back and you're like, oh my god, 1999 was 10 years ago. And then you move on and you fucking do 2009 things. Do you understand? Fucking, you're busy like wondering why you can't enjoy 1978 now. I don't understand. Frank, it's not that big of a fucking thing. Just get over it. Jesus Christ. And I love how I'm talking about my birthday, and now you go into your fucking manic rant trying to explain how time works. Do you realize? you spent 10 minutes trying to explain how years elapse.
It's mind-boggling.
I don't fucking get it.
You said you got it. You understood what I was saying.
No, I don't get your obsession with thinking people don't get that years go by. We all do. We all do. The fact is, 1955 seems long to you. It seems like an amazing time ago because you weren't around for it. Now you're getting into a point where people are referring to things as being old that you were around for.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it is.
You hit it on the head.
I did.
You hit it on the head.
In one sentence. And I didn't have to bring up any fucking... 1955. 40 years. It doesn't fucking make...
So what you're saying is because I was not around...
Yes.
In the 60s and the 50s.
Like whenever you hear about the 1800s, it seems like forever ago. But it really wasn't all that long because there are people living now that have come into contact with someone that was born in the 1800s. Maybe not necessarily. Maybe they've met someone that did, but like really it's not all that fucking long ago. How long? What, 100 years? 200 years? Out of 5 fucking billion? It's a fucking drop in the bucket. The dinosaurs and humans, Frank, are gonna like are fucking like next door neighbors in a fucking timeline if you look at everything. Where's Steve the LARPer? I think we're getting a contact high through the internet. This is fucking bullshit. We're discussing time because I'm having a birthday and your wife had one and you're afraid of being old. Jesus. There it is right now. Peter Dragon said his grandmother was born 1898. So when he kissed his grandmother on the cheek, he was kissing somebody that was in the 1800s for 2 years. That's a little bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre was a bad word, but you agreed with it. Anyway, Frank, I don't know. What I was trying to talk about was gifts and the internet. Now, Jeff brought up the Evite. I brought up the wish list. The internet is changing birthdays. We have people that listen to our show. They download it. They go to heroestalk.com, DJ New Style Show. Don't know why, but they do. These people interact with us. People are getting their own circles on the computer. They have friends that they've never actually met in real life. People are becoming so comfortable with themselves to put fucking lists of things that they would like to own out there so that anybody can just say, you know what, I really want to get into Bob Marley, so if you want, buy me the CD. It's my birthday, after all. Are you at all comfortable with that? With that idea that people have, like, wish lists of things for just waiting to be purchased by anybody?
No, of course not. To take the time to do that, it's very egotistical.
Isn't that kind of like you're basically passively asking people to buy you a gift?
Exactly.
And now I've already come into contact with people that have demanded gifts.
Oh, boy.
I wasn't even going to get them a card. But I walked into work, and one of the people I work with said, "Oh, hey, how are you?" And they were hanging around. And I said, "Oh, happy birthday." Because I remembered I got the company email that it was so-and-so's birthday. I go, "Oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. Did you get me a card?" Excuse me? "No, I didn't get you a card."
They actually say that.
Oh. Well, I mean, you could get one during lunch.
No, nobody's.
Yes, they fucking did, and they all. You know what else they said? "Not enough cream cheese."
It's that same woman.
Same lady.
Oh man, she's got a hard on for you.
I don't know what I did, Frank. I don't know what I did. You know what it is? It's what I didn't do in her eyes. It's everything I didn't do. I didn't get you a card. I didn't bring enough cream cheese. What can I fucking do right? That's what I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go over there. She's not gonna be suspecting it. I'm gonna say, "What did I do right?" You know?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, Frank.
Unless we could take a break, maybe?
Yeah, why don't we take a quick break here? Is that all right? Are you okay with that?
Yes, I have to get a beverage.
So where are you going to be going on Friday, the July 24th?
We're going to go into the city of New York, and we're going to have a in New York.
Wow, that's going to get the people out there.
We're going to Manhattan on...
somewhere in Manhattan.
Yeah, it's in Manhattan.
The bitter end, Frank.
The bitter end in Manhattan.
Jesus, to see who?
To see Dominic and his band, the Vagabond Souls.
That's right.
S-O-U-L-E-S.
No, S-O-L-E-S.
Oh, I'm only kidding.
Holy
I know.
Vagabond Souls, the bitter end, July 24th. That's Friday night. We're going to be going to break here. We'll be playing one of their songs. This is all for you on the DJ New Style Show.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
get you all just to sing along. Yeah, who? Yeah, who? Yeah, now who? By you. Oh, not just by you. By you.
DJ New Style Show.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. During the summer, the best way for you to wind down from a long day at the beach, the park, the PlayStation, or wherever it is you people with jobs go, is with your friends at Hear Us Talk. Join us every Tuesday night for the DJ New Style Show, live from 9 to 11. Thursday nights, catch Best in Show Radio, live from 8 to 11. And usher in your weekend with The What Show, Friday nights at 9:30, all times Eastern. Plus, on Wednesday nights, dim the lights and get your popcorn ready for 100K Presents. And remember some older moments on Monday nights with the Best in Show Radio Journey to the Past. All of this and more can be found at HearUsTalk.com and the Hear Us Talk Radio Room in Powtalk. And don't forget to check out our forums at RadioBronzeFans.com and get your hands on all the latest merchandise at HearUsTalk.Spreadshirt.com. All of this is brought to you by the Hear Us Talk Radio Network, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello, anonymous internet. I'm DJ New Style. Nice to meet you, bitches.
Yeah, welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com, download everything we've ever done. That would be very nice of you. Very, very nice indeed. That was the Vagabond Souls, all for you. Once again, Frank, the plug would be good, but...
Yeah, the Vagabond Souls will be at the Bitter End on July 24th, the Bitter End in New York City, Bleecker Street between LaGuardia and Thompson.
Yes, July 24th, the Bitter End, the Vagabond Souls. Very, very good band. I've enjoyed the tracks that I've heard, and I wish I could go, but I have a wedding to go to. Another one. Why are you clearing your throat? I don't understand.
Nothing. No, I had something in my throat.
Frank, I wanted to do something here. We very often come across these situations where we're not exactly sure how we feel about things. You ever find that common thread of conversation that we have
every day of our life?
Every single day that we speak, either you're asking about a situation or I'm asking about a situation, and I think that we need to kind of set the standard, give our official opinion about some of these things. Now, I wanted to start off, Frank. Give me your thumbs up or thumbs down. Free samples.
Oh.
Free samples. What should be the official opinion? The official DJ New Style Show opinion on free samples. I got to tell you. Go ahead. Not that tough for me, but go ahead.
I got to go with the thumbs down. The thing with samples, it's a good gesture. It's a nice thought, but I'm for some reason people are gavones and animals. When things are free, people take advantage of it.
Gavones.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. When things are free, people take advantage, especially food, when
you can get free food, people will just glom it. Like the animals that they are, they won't utilize the toothpicks. They'll just take it with their disgusting hands and throw it in their mouth.
So your stance, you're saying thumbs down to free samples.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Wegmans?
No.
Frank, you can get fucking lunch at Wegmans. You can go. They have somebody just there to grill steak. She just goes and grills steak, and she'll give you a fucking French fry tray full of steak, rice, and vegetables. Just to try it out. And then if you want, here's a recipe. Make it at home. You go, that's a fucking free sample. And she hands it to you. It's prepared by somebody, and they hand it to you. It's out there on a tray.
when there is control over the samples, I'm okay with that. When you have somebody handing out the samples, however, when you let the public feed themselves in these situations, then I will give the thumbs down.
Okay, so like, like the diner mints, somebody they jizz on their hands and then touch the mints.
Don't play me, okay? You know damn well how I'm gonna what I'm gonna say about those dinner mints, okay? So don't play me the fool.
I'm going all sides of the spectrum, both sides, both ends here. Oh, we have a caller. It's 316-768-4472. Oh, it's me apparently, because they can't turn down the audio that they're hearing right now. And they hung up. Thank you, Dave, for calling in. I appreciate that. That was our buddy, WWE Dave.
Oh, God.
Not necessarily a master of the phone, I would just say. But free samples, Frank, they come in varieties. You hear free samples, you think, oh, I'm going to get a cup of cheese. I'm going to get some crackers. Or in the case of Wegmans, I'm going to have a fucking slice of steak or salmon with some fucking asparagus on it. What about when you go to the bank? Or when you go to the mechanic or the vet and they have that pot of coffee?
Okay. The pot, first of all, when you have refreshments in an automobile environment, that's a death wish right there. Because there's chemicals and fluids all over that fucking place.
Well, I'm not saying it's under the fucking car. I mean, they have a waiting room with coffee.
Right, but if you... All automobile waiting rooms, whether you go to your dealer's waiting room or not, there's still that faint smell of motor oil in that fucking waiting room. There's a faint smell of you feel like there's a film on you when you're in those waiting rooms.
And then you look at the magazine and you see a black streak or a brown streak, and you don't know, is this from a mechanic read this or was this in the bathroom?
Right.
Someone it's, not have a clean wipe, and they needed to see what Joel Stein said about fucking Obama.
There's something about making yourself at home in an automobile repair shop. Waiting. I don't get it.
What about all the other non-eateries that offer the free coffee? The bank, you go and you have to wait now, but they have the pot of coffee out. Would you go and take a cup?
I don't do that, because what happens is, as I said, some people will go for refills, and then the mouthpiece of the coffee pot will touch the rim of the cup of where they drank. So then you got cross contamination. So that's why I will never eat all that.
So the reason you're not gonna drink it is not because it has because it was made when Bill Clinton was president and it's been warmed for the past fucking 16 years. Someone might have put their mouth on it.
Right. However, what I will utilize and which I have utilized is they have these machines where you put like a cup. Like a little container of coffee in there, and you plug it in there, and you make your own coffee. Are you familiar with this technique?
Very familiar. We have one at work. It's the K-Cup, whatever machine. You have a little pod, put it in there, hit a button, coffee.
Do you like it?
Greatest thing in the world. 8 cups a day, I think, when we first got it. It was madness, because previously we had the pot. If you wanted coffee, you had to go around and say, I'm going to be making coffee. And you had to see if anybody was going to bite, because it's kind of an unspoken thing that, you know, don't make coffee if the rest of it's just going to sit around. Try to make sure that the pot's going to be used. So now,
Have you ever volunteered yourself to make coffee?
I mean, I'm the only one that drinks it late in the day. Pretty much, when we had the pot, if it was being made, it was by me, every day, pretty much. Every day. It would already be there by the time I got in, but subsequent pots, whatever. So my thing on free samples and the free coffee at non-eateries, all for it. Even if it's the most disgusting coffee, if I have to go and sit there and talk about some fucking CD that I don't want to lapse, or a mutual fund, or I'm waiting to get my car back from an oil change, and there's coffee there, even if I'm waiting for my dog to have his shit poked at by a guy in a fucking lab coat for some reason, if there's free coffee, I'm gonna take the coffee. I don't care how disgusting it is. I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna do my best to enjoy it. When I'm a little bit leery is when it's like a temporary pot. It's more like a carafe, and next to it is the box of Munchkins. So now you know people are digging through that box to get the chocolate ones on the bottom. Yes. And you got to look around the waiting room. Does anybody have powdered fingers? Then you know they've been rooting around through it. And then you can't eat the donuts. Because I'm not a germ freak. I just don't want pissy donuts in my mouth. Call me crazy. I like the glazed. I like the chocolate. I'm not going to fucking pick through. I'm a human. I'll take whatever's on top or whatever I can get without touching the other things. And I always like to make sure people see me doing that. Going through that extra effort to not touch the ones they may eat. But people don't give a fuck. You do all that effort. The next guy comes in like, oh, donuts! Fucking his whole palm is on the bottom of the box.
Just ridiculous animals.
So I can't give it the thumbs down, but you have a conditional strike against this. If there's no control, just avoid it.
When the person giving out the samples samples gives the public the control over the samples, no good. However, when the person giving out the samples is the one who has control, all for it.
Next thing up, Frank. Bilingual or multilingual dogs? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Please explain.
How many times do you see somebody walking a dog and people are petting it and they're saying, oh, what a nice dog, what a nice dog. Those people leave and the owner's spitting out some fucking foreign tongue to the dog and the dog is listening.
Right.
It's very odd. That dog understands more than one language.
Right. And not only that, but the dog understands more than I do.
I can't trust this dog. I don't like a dog that can understand more than one language. It kind of fucking freaks me out a little bit. I don't know why, but a dog should only have one fucking command for sit. It shouldn't be able to sit in fucking six languages. It bugs me a little bit. And you seem to be intrigued.
I'm very intrigued by it. There's nothing better than a bilingual dog.
Nothing better? Nothing in the world better. This is the best creation had to offer.
I mean, think of it. This dog is more educated than you are. He knows a foreign he has a second language.
Well, I mean, maybe they have a third. I can just go like this, put my hand up and fingers, and the fucking dog stands on his hind legs. Does hand signals qualify as a language to you or no?
Is this a different one now or is this the same one?
It's the same. The bilingual dogs. Okay. If I make a hand signal to the dog and it listens, is that a form of a language to you or no? Can I say that Teddy is bilingual?
Absolutely. Let me think. Well, deaf people utilize sign language. So
you know what?
So the word language is in sign.
That's
so
it.
So sign language. Yes. You
congratulations. Congratulations, Teddy. You're bilingual, motherfucker. You're bilingual. Okay, I highly approve. In this case, I can in fact trust bi or multilingual dogs. Next up, Frank. I want the official opinion. Laundromats, dry cleaners. These two institutions are very unnecessary. But I find myself drawn to them. I don't want to be bothered to iron my suit, to clean my suit, to iron and launder shirts. I just dropped them off to the Chinese man, and I picked them up 2 days later. Is this something that we should avoid?
I had a terrible experience when I was younger at a laundromat. When I was a young child, I went to the laundromat to have a button sewed on a pair of pants.
And you could have done that yourself.
A single button to be sewed on a pair of pants. So I brought it there on a Monday, okay?
Okay.
Let's just say it was a Monday, okay?
Sure.
She said it'll be ready the next day. I go there on a Tuesday, still not ready. Okay, this is just to sew a fucking button on a pair of pants. I go there Wednesday. It still wasn't ready. So obviously she could see that I was a little bothered by it. So she sewed it right there, and I had to wait 20 minutes for her to sew the fucking button. So I had to wait.
So they kept putting it off 3 days.
Right, 48 hours to sew a fucking button. Then this cunt had the nerve to charge me $1.
And they just did it in front of you.
They couldn't
justify to you keeping it that long. They just ripped it off the rack and did it in front of you.
Right, and to the nerve to even charge me anything was preposterous.
I need to clarify a little bit. There are clothes that require dry cleaning. I understand that. Every one of my button-down shirts I take to the laundromat to be dry cleaned, to be cleaned, ironed, and all that shit.
How many times do you wear your white button-down shirts before you bring them to the dry cleaners?
If they've been dry cleaned, I'll probably wear them like four times. If I can keep them nice for like four times. Anyway, that's beside the point. I don't know if I can trust this place, and if I should even go back, because every time I go there, and you know the drill, they want to figure out who you are so they can give you the ticket. They ask me my phone number. This is where my parents go. This is where my family goes. This is the dry cleaners that we go to. I give them the phone number. My mom's name comes up. And now he goes, okay, Diana. Okay, Diana. I'll see you later, Diana. You come Wednesday. To me. The guy thinks my name is Diana now. I tell him, no, my name's Ken. He doesn't understand me. He pretends he doesn't hear. Oh, okay. Sorry, Diana. So now I just gave up. Now I am Diana to this guy. Does that ever happen to you? I mean, do you eventually give up and just accept the mistake?
I went on a cruise when I was in 2000 and the year 2000, I believe, I went on a cruise with my wife. This was the cruise we went to Bermuda, okay?
Wow.
And I got to be friendly with a couple people on board, and for some reason they just kept calling me Mike, and I would just answer to it constantly.
Yeah, that happened when I used to call in orders for my breakfast sandwich. I'd say, it's for Ken. And then I'd get there like, hey, Tim. I'm like, you know Tim. He likes his double egg and cheese. Fuck it. I don't know, Frank. Okay, so that's a couple things down. We understand them. Maybe we'll revisit this. I don't know. There's a ton of things, Frank. We can't do it all tonight.
We're only human.
Oh, wait, one thing, Frank. You mentioned something to me that you were pulling into an intersection. Do you want to tell the story? And the pedestrian?
Yeah. When you nowadays, I guess it's the law that you have to yield to pedestrians. A lot of times in the middle of roads, they'll have
nowadays.
They have these crosswalks, and a lot of times you'll see cones, and they'll have a little sign that says state law must yield to pedestrian. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, but some people don't. Some drivers don't abide by it. They'll cut the pedestrian off. I always abide by it. Okay. I give him that dignity.
It's however, the law. It's not dignity.
Please,
it's not fucking.
Please.
It's the law.
Please. However, even though it's the law. And then I'm expected to do it. I still expect a thank you from these pedestrians via a wave.
Just a wave.
Or a smile.
And if they don't do it? What does that do to you?
It crushes me.
It crushes you.
It crushes me. The nerve. You know, they don't realize that I didn't have to let them go. I could have went past. I could have driven and let them wait again for the next person.
What if they're on their phone? They're talking to somebody. They have to go and turn and go, thank you.
Doesn't matter. Listen. There's even times where there's no crosswalk there, and I let them go. And if they don't say thank you, it pisses me off. It's an insult. It's an insult.
Because you're obeying the law for them to live, they should thank you.
Don't you feel they should?
So anytime a chef handles a knife and doesn't run it through your chest, you should thank him. So anytime you see somebody holding a rake, a shovel, a chainsaw, you have to say thank you to them.
Now, your true colors are coming out because now I know why you're making this point. Is because you're one of those people who don't wave and say
I don't fucking wave, okay? I don't need to wave to you. I'm going because I'm supposed to go. I'm not going to thank you for letting me do something that I should be doing. It's fucking ridiculous. If you go out of your way to do something, you deserve to be thanked. That's why if you hold the door for somebody and they don't thank you, that person is a fuck. They're a goddamn fuckface and they should be locked up, beaten down, whatever. They have everything that comes to them, everything bad comes to them, they deserve it. But in this case, they're supposed to be going. They're walking. They have the right of way. If you don't go, if you don't let them go, you're a fuck. They don't have to thank you, Frank. People hate no waivers. Yeah, you know what? Why? What's the hate? Because they inconvenience you a little bit?
they're not giving me my props. They're not giving me. They're not being.
God, you have low expectations. If you need props from some guy holding an iPhone walking across,
they're
the
not
street.
Giving me. They're not being gracious.
This guy's playing fucking some fucking Facebook game on a handheld device, walking through a crosswalk, and you need props from him.
Does it bother you? Let me ask you this. This is a little off topic. Does it bother you when you're at a retail store and you're purchasing something, and somebody is on a private phone call on their cell phone? Does that bother you?
Only when they have a headset. Only when they have a headset and they're strolling around, hands in pockets. Ah, no, no, no. I didn't see that one. I got it on the DVR though. Yeah, no. 6 o'clock. I think 6 o'clock. Yeah, chicken's fine. Chicken's fine. I don't want to hear that. I want, because they're looking around. They look like they're not doing anything. They look like a crazy person. It's all been said. When they have the actual phone, I understand more. I forgive more of that. I don't enjoy hearing their fucking life, especially if they're a loud talker like you are. I imagine you when you're on your phone. What? Where's Luke? Where's Luke? Donna! 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 Why don't you use your cell phone?
What bothered me today is I went to a fast food eatery, and the guy, the cashier was on a personal phone call while he was taking my money, and I was very offended by that. Well, I'm also
you
very
should be
offended
in that case because the person's supposed to be doing a job. I'm right. Talking about people that are just enjoying the space of the store.
I am also very offended when employees curse.
Why?
It makes it's very awkward. Excuse me?
Give me an example.
If two employees are talking to each other and they, you know, they just start saying, oh, he came in so fucking late or something like that. you don't curse when there's customers around, okay?
Yes.
It's a
Do
lack of-
Do not sully the hallowed grounds of Home Depot with your fucking
it's
talk.
It's a lack of respect. Sometimes you hear those people at Home Depot or wherever using the F word and this and that. I have my children with me sometimes. It's rude.
Well,
it's impolite.
And Frank, how many times when you're around your children do you curse?
Daily.
So what do you give a shit if a guy that sells a hacksaw twice a day with his fucking orange vest has had enough of his fucking life that he's just going to let an F-bomb go?
Listen to me. That does not
what
bother
does it matter
you. Offend
to you?
You? Stop with the
it
shit.
It doesn't offend me.
That does not
I've
offend you at
words.
All.
I've heard the words. I've said the words. I just said them now. I fucking said it fucking now while fucking describing the fucking
they're
that you're talking about.
They're supposed to be representing their store. They should be representing their store. You know, I have a good right mind to call headquarters.
Call them. Who gives a shit? They'll say, yeah, so fucking what? Click, and you're done. You're going to waste time. Sit on a phone just because someone said shit, piss, fuck at a Home Depot.
I, you know what?
Why?
I don't know if you're putting
why?
An act here or what.
Why? Because
how could you say that that's not bother you?
They're going to corrupt the 2x4s. Who gives a shit?
Well, you know, that just shows your mentality.
It shows my mentality of generally not trying to concern myself too much with what other people are saying. I'm not bothered by that at all.
All right, let me ask you this question, okay?
Sure, go ahead.
You have a niece, isn't that correct?
I do.
I think she's maybe about 10 or 11. Say sure. you took her to a Kmart or wherever, and the employee started saying some really foul curses. That would not offend you whatsoever?
I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't like it, but, you know, people do what they're going to do. Now, are you the type of person to go to these people and say, hey, I got my kids here? Would you do that? Would you approach the people that are doing this?
I don't approach them, but I'm like, oh, hold, come on, hold it. I got my kids here. That's what I'll say to them.
Yeah, you'll just keep walking. Whoa, virgin ears here, buddy. Then
I
you
say,
know what? You're being very passive. And you shouldn't
say
fucking
easy.
Say anything.
I'll say easy, easy. I got my kids over here. Easy.
And what if they said, fuck your kids? What would they do?
I go right to headquarters.
You would go to headquarters instead of approaching the person.
You know what happened one time? This is a true story. I swear on my life, my family's life. Where I used to live in my old house, the people behind us were getting work done on their house. They were having an addition put on. And the worker decided to take a piss behind the shed of the people's houses he was working on. And my young daughter saw this guy's ding, this guy's ding dong, you know, that's very offensive. That would not bother you?
It absolutely would. How are you trying to take the same feelings from some guy saying shit with his buddies as a guy exposing himself to children? You can't extrapolate that.
You know, the only reason you're saying this is because you must have cursed when you worked at Frank's Nurseries and Crafts. Isn't that correct?
I had the decency not to do it when there are kids around. And when there are kids around, I don't like to curse.
And is it
when
true
there's
that you...
adults around, you know what? If you're above the age of 16 and you're offended by shit or fuck, then you know what? Honestly, grow up.
And isn't it true that you led to the downfall of Frank's Nursery and Crafts?
I did not.
I apologize.
I bled Frank's green. I was the heart and soul of that place when I was throwing pumpkins that they were trying to sell. Anyway, Frank, that's beside the point. We've mentioned that many times. We don't need to go into that again. Frank, are you aware that there are people out there right now that are more offensive than somebody who would just say shit or fuck? Are you aware of that? There are people that are actually worth being offended by? How about a guy that gets arrested for stealing underwears, as you say?
The problem with these people and the stealing of listen, people have a fetish. They like to smell the underwears. They like to get the aroma of the they want to get that and breathe and inhale that crotch area.
Well, apparently police have caught an underwear thief in Germany, in Berlin. They've uncovered 1,000 pairs of underpants and more than 100 pairs of swimming trunks after they caught a thief nabbing another 3 pairs from a store for his collection. The 46-year-old bald man named The 46-year-old man was caught Sunday pinching 3 pairs of pants from a sports hall in the western town of Gelnhausen. Police came across the enormous collection that he had in his apartment. Now, Frank, the weird thing is he washed them clean, folded them nicely, and stacked them up in his room. And he claims he didn't steal them. He bought them at what is called a car boot sale, which is basically like a flea market where people sell shit out of their car's trunk. He's not sniffing the crotches of these things.
Yes.
He may have.
Some people do, though. I think in China or Japan, you should actually buy used underwears in a vending machine. Are you aware of this?
I am aware of this.
Okay.
I think it's the saddest thing I've ever heard. The guy who says, let's see, D5, Hershey's with almonds. E5, dirty, rotten, disgusting underwear. I'm going to go E5. 75 cents, you can't go wrong. What do you chew on the crotch a little bit? I mean, I'd imagine you're putting money into a machine. You may as well want to chew something.
What
or
do
you
think
just go, okay, that's it. 75 cents. Yes.
What do you think is more freakish? The guy who steals underwear or who steals women's shoes?
I think the underwear. Because honestly, shoes... Maybe you like to wear women's shoes. The underwear thing, you're stealing them. Why? Underwear is so easy to get. You can't even fucking get rid of underwear you have. You just can't. So you're stealing underwear. Why? So you can sniff it, put it on your fucking face. I don't know. You've stolen underwear in the past. You had a big career. Why'd you do it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I read something about you then.
No.
But the thing is, it's not just the underwear. It's the bathing suits. These people are leaving their fucking bathing suits. I guess they're showering or something. This guy's pilfering their fucking... Or swimming trunks, as they call it.
I have terrible memories with my bathing suit. You know what the problem with bathing... I mean, were you ever in a pool?
I have been in a pool.
And for some reason, every once in a while, you're in a bathing suit... And all of a sudden, the bathing suit starts to blow up on you. Are you aware of this?
You look like an upside-down mushroom. It's right when you first get in, because like the air rushes up to the top, and you walk around. And sometimes, maybe you let it go like that for a little while.
It's embarrassing. It's mortifying.
It is.
That your fucking trunks are swelling.
And you have to kind of get the air out. And now you have to hope that people don't think you're farting in the fucking pool. Boom, 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 boom. The fucking bubbles going to the surface.
Oh, it's...
Now, let me ask you something, Frank. completely not gay, but are you a type of person that when you put your bathing suit on, you leave your underwear on?
No, because the bathing suits have built-in underwears.
It does, and I completely agree you should use this, but there are people that cut that out. So either they're wearing their own underwear underneath it, or they're just fucking free-balling into your fucking pool. And I don't know why the netting is that much of a fucking protective shield, but it's a little bit disgusting to me. It's a little bit more disgusting to have ripped that netting out.
The worst thing about the sometimes I have you know, as a kid, worn jean shorts with underwears underneath it and jumped in that way.
Jesus,
you know, I won't put a underwears on if it has built-in underwears. But
what the next worst thing is to that, the puffed up bathing suit?
What?
As far as embarrassment goes, when you're climbing out of the pool and now you have a nice fucking perfect dick outline because the bathing suit is clunked right to you. You have to flip the waistband out to get some air in there.
Yes. It's sort of like adheres to your pubic area, and you could see your everything. It's that's mortifying.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? You're usually walking out, and like, you know, your family's near the pool. You don't need your mom catching your dick outline.
And it always looks like you got a boner for some reason, even though it does. Like you got a little half mess.
The pool was freezing goddamn cold, especially if it's your pool that hasn't seen sunshine since its fucking creation. 60, what would you say it was? 62, 63 degrees?
Yes.
There's no way in hell you can have an erection. But it looks like you do. It's the worst. It's these fucking baggy ass suits.
How do you handle snot when you're in a pool? Are you the kind of guy who takes his hand and just, you know, drapes it over his nose in order to ensure that there's no snots when you get out of the pool?
Oh, to just maybe take the index and the thumb, go.
Yeah. Do you do that?
If it does the job, that's my first line of defense. There's a whole series of things you can do to get rid of snot in a pool. You can do the thing with your thumb and forefinger. You can go underwater and push as much air out of your nose as possible, so that the bubbles go through your nose and hopefully the booger goes with it. Or, you know what? You just say, fuck it. Cover one nostril and just blast.
But you don't have a mirror in the pool, so you're risking, you know, having it be worse. And the snot in the pool is always white for some reason. It's always white and stringy.
It is. It looks like somebody jerked off in the pool.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why you think of this so much, though.
Do you have a booger protocol? Like, even when you're not in the water?
I don't really.
How do you ensure that you don't have boogers in your nose?
What you can do is you take, like, a toilet paper and turn it into, like, a cone and, like, probe inside. And then when you're alone, you can just shove your finger in there.
All right.
And
but don't
really
you,
scoop it out.
But don't you have you have to have a mirror, though, don't you?
No. You don't need a mirror.
But then how do you know you're not making it worse? Let me just say this.
I mean, it's not a fucking never-ending supply. I mean, eventually you're going to run out of snot.
I never blow my nose without a mirror.
Really?
Because once you blow your nose, you couldn't be making it worse than what it was.
Jesus.
Are you embarrassed to blow your nose in public?
No. I don't know why anybody would be. You are?
Yes.
What? Well, what's so embarrassing about it?
The fact that you could then have snots all over your nose.
Did this ever happen when you were a kid? You blew your nose, you had snots all over your face? What would they call you? Frankie Snotty Face.
No.
Frankie Booger Nose.
Do you look... let me ask you this question. When you're driving in a car, before you get into work or before you go somewhere or wherever, do you ever look in the rearview mirror to do a booger check to make sure there's no boogers?
Yeah, you look at the mirror real quick and you see. You kind of straighten out your nose a little bit and look. Flare your nostrils out. It's not a big deal.
There's nothing more embarrassing than having a booger in your nose and not realizing it. It's one of the most embarrassing things ever.
You know what's the worst feeling, though? Is after you've been having a conversation with somebody for a while, you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands, you look up, and you have the most disgusting fucking booger hanging out of your nose or something in your teeth, like a complete fucking salad stuck in your teeth.
You know that they were just intrigued by this booger while they were talking to you.
And they didn't have the guts to say, hey, listen, you got a fucking booger in your nose. Pick your fucking teeth. I appreciate it when people tell me.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Tell me. If I have a booger, oh, okay, great. We all get them. It's not a big fucking deal. I don't know, Frank.
Oh, God.
You know what the worst thing about swimming is, what is if you're in the pool and you're swimming and all of a sudden you realize you have to take a dump. There's nothing worse than taking those – pulling those wet wet bathing suits that just stick into your body and taking a dump.
And putting your freezing ass cheeks on that fucking seat. And it becomes like chemically bonded when you get up.
And the worst is when you wipe yourself because your ass is still wet from the pool.
No, that's so the best. Like, that's the best. Like,
it's friction, so you really can't wipe yourself properly. And then after you put your bathing suit back on, you feel like you're just not complete because the bathing suit's still wet, and you feel like it's pressing against your anus.
You have a lot of problems with your ass, man. I don't understand. You still shitting blood, Frank?
I shit blood. Listen, I don't want to make people sick, but it got to the point the other day where I stood up and there were droplets that went on the fucking bathroom floor from my asshole. Hello! And I had to wipe it up.
Like when you fuck up the two little triangle cuts in the top of a fruit punch can, you get those three wayward drops.
It's true. I'm at the point right now where I think maybe there's a problem, and I
just
see a doctor.
Somebody look at your ass. Why are you so ashamed, Frank? You have a fucking, you're leaking ass blood on your bathroom floor. This is an issue. It's not going away. It's been what, a year, 2 years? How many years are you gonna go on with a fucking torn up ass?
You've never been to a proctologist, have you?
No,
I have.
No. I'm sure you have. And you know what? You know what? Yes. I'm guessing he didn't finish the job, Leaky.
When I had my first anal fissure, I went to a proctologist. And do you realize that you have to get into a gown and lie sideways on a table and spread your ass cheeks open? You aware how embarrassing that is when there's a fucking nurse in the room with you?
That fucking gown doesn't barely cover anything.
It's embarrassing. And you gotta take they give you this surgical towel or whatever, and you gotta put it over your privates. It's embarrassing.
A surgical towel. It's a towel.
It's like greenish or whatever. I don't know. But
God. So you're there in your fucking hospital robe. Does he ever say? Spread him up more.
Well, you had an experience. Didn't you have an experience?
Like the dentist, sometimes when your jaw gets tired, like, and we're going to need you to open a little wider. Does he ever do that to you? Does the ass doctor ever say, and we're going to need you to pull your ass?
Well, he just said spread
apart.
It more, he said. And then he gets to the point where he's pulling your cheeks apart.
He gets tired of you and just gets in there himself and rips him up.
But you had a situation where you, I mean, I don't know if you want to discuss it, but you had a groin problem at one time.
Yeah, you know what? I thought that I had twisted my ball or something like that. I had a pain in back of my testicle. So now, and it was persistent. So I went and I got it checked out. But the thing is, when you get it checked out, you think, oh, I'll just get it checked out and I'll make sure I'm okay. You don't think of the fucking embarrassment that has to go on. First of all, The doctor was a female, so now it's, you may think, oh, dude, if I'm getting my fucking balls touched, I'm going to have a fucking female. Not attractive, okay? You're not exactly having a fucking porn star that you'd, spend hours looking for a clip of on TubeBait or Pornhub.com. It's a homely woman, basically, that says, okay, remove your pants and lay on the table. And she'll do this, she'll flip your dick up so she can get at the balls, and she'll start feeling around the balls, and you just feel fucking, you feel like you're being picked at, like by a fucking buzzard. And then she'll go like this, no, shake your head a little bit, no, I don't know, maybe you got orchitis, but I don't feel anything like that. Now I'm thinking, you should be feeling something, motherfucker. Never say I don't feel anything. But she, you know, it's, you feel like you're on display or whatever. It's not fun.
It's I remember being in high school. Sometimes you'd have to get like a physical to play sports or something, and a whole group of people, you know, the all the boys would be lined up, getting their balls.
Oh, that's the worst.
And then people would like everybody would inspect to make sure you didn't get a boner from the male doctor.
What?
That never went on. People would they would chastise you because like sometimes like a slow wow. kid or somebody like that would come out with an erection and they would just crucify him.
Oh, that's really nice. Crucify the fucking retarded person who probably was convinced himself that Jenna Jameson just blew him. He doesn't even know how to fucking add, subtract, or discern string from fucking grass. But you know, he's a real asshole for getting a hard on. When we had to do that, we had the oldest man ever come in to do these physicals, wearing a fucking like a bodysuit, knee pads, and like some kind of a fucking flowing. I almost have to call it a cape. It's like a robe that was just open, and the guy had like glasses and shit. He basically looked like Spandy Man. If you've ever seen Spandy Man in his fucking his singlet that he wears, he had knee pads on for some fucking reason. I have no idea why. And he was wearing a spandex singlet with an open lab coat. Let me tell you, not the most conducive thing to an erection. So we never had that fucking trouble. But it would always be like, turn your head, cough. And like you couldn't muster up a cough. Like I just want this to be over. Real quick.
Would it be gay for somebody to get an erection from a doctor?
I think it would, but hold on. I have to clarify. Spandy goes, it's not a singlet, it's a unitard. Singlets are gay. Oh, I'm sorry. Apparently there are differences between one spandex outfit and the next. Getting an erection from a doctor checking out your balls, I don't know if it makes you gay, but it makes you a little bit odd. I mean, you are, at this point, able to take your mind away from, hey, I might have a medical problem that could be pretty fucking damaging to my dick and balls, to, hey, this feels pretty good. How can you bridge that gap unless you're fucking completely insane? I don't think that you're gay. I think you just have, you don't have the connective energy in your fucking, in your brain.
I think I had mentioned this once before, but when I had to get my, I was probably about, like, my teens or whatever, and I had to get my testicles or whatever, my ding dong checked for some reason. I don't even remember when, and I was too embarrassed to even take my underwears down.
You were in second grade?
No. I was in I guess, you know, high school or whatever, or maybe eighth grade or whatever.
Did you say second grade? Because I thought I heard second.
No.
Okay, now it's getting older and older.
And I was
I
too
was 33, and I had to get my dick checked. Okay, go ahead.
No. I was mortified to have to show my, it was the first time I had to show my ding dong to another male. And I didn't even want to put my underwears down. So the doctor had to actually pull my underwears down for me.
Oh my God. He had to pants you?
Yes. He took each side of my tighty whitey and just started wiggling them off my hips.
He wiggled them off of you?
Well, you know, how are you going to get them off? He's not going to just rip them down. He just did them very gently.
Oh, my God. That is... You were molested. You were fucking molested. You can now say, in addition to your having adult ADD and your OCD, that you were molested. The guy wiggled your fucking underwear off you?
Well, I guess he didn't want to tear them off, so he just took them down very gingerly.
What was the procedure that you were having done?
I guess I was just getting a physical. You know what? I wish I could even remember.
You were getting a physical, and the guy had to get you out of your drawers.
I guess he had to do the cough, you know, turn left and cough or whatever. So
they don't pull your underwear off for that. Oh my God!
I guess
you were molested.
You're expected to take your own underwear down.
Did he just put it on his cheek and go? Feels warm under there, doesn't it? Wow, you were touched as a kid.
I was not touched as a kid.
Let's get these pants off you. Were your parents with you in there or no?
No.
You were by yourself with the doctor?
I was. He took my underwears down from my hips. He didn't touch my ding dong.
No, well, what did he do once the underwear were off?
He did his thing, and then
what thing?
I guess the cough and whatever. I wish I could remember what it was for.
He coughed. I guess you got pretty deep in him, didn't you? He tickled his uvula. Because the only thing that's going to happen is that this guy plays with your dick. There's no reason for a doctor to remove your...
He did not play with my dick. I was watching the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. In amazement and fear. Frank, you were molested. This is a horrible thing. Oh. You need to find this family doctor, sue him if he's alive. If not, sue his estate. You were molested. And that's why you're so messed up with your germs and everything.
This is the same doctor that I bombarded with my 20 so-and-so tests, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, your STD tests?
Yes. I had 20 tests, and, you know, this is obviously a few years later.
Early on, right after his examination of you, he said, no, you don't have anything. I'm clean.
Hello! No, but and this was the first time I was ever asked to leave. I was told to exit a doctor's office. I was like, they were like, okay, please leave now.
Wow. It takes a real crazy person to get kicked out of a doctor's office.
Yes. Well, I'm crazy.
Yeah, certainly. Irrational and crazy and just out of your mind. I don't know, Frank. Why don't we take a break here? It's going to be another one from the Vagabond Souls. And when can you hear them, Frank? When and where? Please do the plug for our buddy Dom.
Yes, the Vagabond Souls can be heard July 24th at the Bitter End in New York City on Bleecker Street between LaGuardia and Thompson. Please join us. Thank you.
Okay. It's the DJ New Style Show and Heroes Talk. Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude. ocean. I hope that you've heard it. I hope that you listen.
DJ New Style Show.
Let me tell you about a man. He lives online with the chat room cam. If you met him, you'd probably hit him. Bedridden man, tits can't be hidden. Don't talk fashion, don't even try it. He only wears stuff he saw in Andre the Giant. And his body gets whiter with no outside plans. Clothing grows with him as his waist expands. Person would ever hang out with him. No women ever sucked his dick, cause they'd have to perform a fucking magic trick. No job, no clothes, no hope. Always alone in his mother's home. Don't know exactly what's up in his dome, but I'm guessing he's got an extra chromosome. Spending man's agenda ends at item five. It's sleep and stroke and breathe, think and cry. I know I'm mean, and if you ask me why, it's because he's always dressed for a deep sea dive. Always on the mic, he constantly speaks, but this asshole reeks wearing spandex for weeks. He's laying on his back and ass cheeks. Doctors kill pain, but they keep this creep weak.
Unitard or even a Zentai suit, well, it's probably pronounced hentai, and just go to town and cuddle and fuck, dry, you know, dry fuck and all of that. That'd be one of my fetish dreams come true. Alright, I hate being on demand, it sucks, so yeah, I do need the fluff. Sorry.
Always on the mic, always on the mic.
Your only chance. He's wearing spandex. It's so goddamn tight. His motherfucking asshole never sees sunlight.
Did you just pick lint out of your belly button?
Yes.
Yeah. Yo, what's up? It's your boy Sony from 10th and Diamond. You listening to the DJ New Style Show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean. I'm talking about a DJ New Style Show. Yeah, I mean. Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show.
That was actually you on vocals, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. That was me and Dom from the Vagabond Souls. Once again, Friday night, July 24th, the bitter end Between, you know, Thompson and LaGuardia.
Yes.
On Bleecker Street.
Unfortunately, you know, if you were going Friday, perhaps, you know, you guys could have done that song together. Maybe one day you can do a live version of that song.
I don't want to sully the Vagabond Souls CD release party with a silly song about an internet man that wears spandex all the time and has back pain and is always dressed for a deep sea dive. But I don't know, Frank. I wanted to expose something here. Oh, just really quick. Every time I speak to you lately, you make a comment of, man, my lip smells. My lip smells real bad. All the time.
Yeah. It's what I, the problem was, when I eat certain foods, especially pizza, my upper lip starts to stink.
Yeah, and you know what? It's fucking disgusting. And I don't need to hear about you and having a permanently smelly lip.
It's the grease from the pizza. Now, I notice sometimes that the microphone I'm utilizing starts to reek after a while as well, being that my breath always hits it.
Do you have bad breath? Is that what it is? Do you have halitosis?
I've never been told I had bad breath. But I smell something right now. And
is it your lip?
I think it's my upper lip from the food I had before.
What did you eat?
I actually had pizza.
So now, is it your lip, or is it the fact that you have a headset mic on, the mic's in front of your face, and you spit and have terrible breath? It just gets like all caked on.
Well, when I'm talking on the phone with you, I smell it as well. So maybe when my breath is...
Yeah, you know what? Listen, I bet you this is exactly what it is. Because you're smelling it now, you have a microphone in front of your face. You smell it when you're talking on the phone, you have a phone in front of your face. You are a loud talker. You fucking scream. You must be spitting and having all kinds of food particles going into that little speaker. It's like your phone is turning into a fucking that of a 90-year-old woman who lives alone. They still have the rotary phone. Fucking receiver mouth.
It's funny you should mention that, because my grandmother, may she rest in peace, her telephone was a biohazard. First of all, it was so greasy, the mouthpiece reeked of halitosis, and there were always white fucking particles in the receiver part. It was vile.
I would go over to my grandmother's house, and I would want to make a phone call. And I was like young, and my mom goes, "Don't put that near your face. Don't put that near your face." And I looked at it later on; it was covered with just mung, you know, like mung, like spittle and little milk driplets that just were never rinsed off. For some reason, you know, she's I guess Italian, and that's what Italian people do, Frank. They spit into their phones and they smell them up.
And I guess when you're, you know, elderly, it's hard to clean it.
Yeah, and that explains your cell phone smelling. It's fucking, it's gross. Does your wife ever use your phone?
No.
You don't let her?
She has her own phone. Why would I let her use my phone?
If she didn't have her phone on her, and she said, let me borrow your phone, would you let her?
Sure. I mean, you know.
And you know what? And then she would smell that smell and never borrow your phone again.
Maybe.
I imagine it being something like, you know, that waxy crust that works its way into the tread of a milk jug at the top? You know that crust that falls into your cereal?
Yes.
Oh, I bet you it just smells like a pile of that.
I don't know. It's just like right now I could smell the odor, right? It's very vile.
Why don't you lick the microphone for a bit just to see what does it taste like?
It tastes sort of like Crisco oil and milk combined.
that's your natural musk, Frank. That is your secondary sex characteristics that'll one day attract a fine woman to you. That's what'll happen. I don't know, Frank. It's fucking disgusting. You tote this around, and you smell it every single day, and you don't even think twice about fucking cleaning it.
No, what's the point?
The point is that you fucking smell it and you get disgusted. I know,
but now it's almost to the point now where I actually enjoy the aroma.
You enjoy it now. It, like your feet or whatever, like your shoes that you had to smell constantly.
Yes, for a long time, I had my sneakers emitted a foul odor. Now, I've never had foot odor in my life. I'm not a person who has foot odor. But I guess perhaps the material it was made out of caused a very foul stench.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are you going
to do? One thing I wanted to bring up before we conclude this fine episode of the show. We were talking about, because I had listened to an audiobook about that talked about the probability of dying in a car, and you drive everywhere.
Yes, and I have a ritual.
And you told me about a ritual you had.
Yes.
Now what? First of all, what is the goal of the ritual?
Well, the goal of the ritual is as follows. What I'm going to try to do to
no,
do
no,
is
no, no,
I'm,
not what the ritual is. What is the ritual supposed to accomplish for you?
It's supposed to accomplish me not dying in a car accident.
So you have a foolproof way of not getting into a car accident.
This will prevent everybody from getting into a car accident.
Okay, let's hear this.
As long as you're driving defensively as well.
Now, anybody who drives, this would be particularly useful for you. So listen up.
Yes.
This is Frank's ritual, guaranteed to prevent you dying in an auto fatality.
What you do is when you get in the car and you turn the ignition on, you say out loud, "Oh, what are the chances I'm really going to die in a car accident?" And then it diffuses the whole situation, and it won't happen. So
you
won't die.
Mind. You are out of your fucking mind. You do this because you have some kind of a demon that you need to just satisfy. The demon's like, you're right. And then it goes away and stops yelling at you. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Route 80, you're going to crash. Route 80, you're going to crash. 287, you're going to die. You're going to die. And you say, what are the chances? He's like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah. So if you say, what are the chances you're going to die in a car accident, then you won't die in the car accident because what are the chances that you're going to die? What you're doing is you're nipping it in the bud.
It doesn't make any sense.
No. What you're doing is you're manipulating fate.
No, you're
not controlling fate.
You can't control fate, Frank.
Yes, you are. You're controlling fate.
So wait, let me ask you something. I want to have some proof that this works or doesn't. Now, Frank, every time you start that car and drive, do you say this?
Yes.
So
I say
to
myself, what are the chances I'm going to die in a car accident?
So if you do die in a car accident, then it's complete bullshit.
It's completely crap.
Or you'll come back, haunt me, and say that you didn't say it that day.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you. When you drive, Frank, do you talk on the phone?
Yes.
When you drive, Frank, do you consume beverages?
Yes.
When you drive, Frank, I don't have to ask this because we've all seen the pictures of the inside of your car. Do you eat food while you drive?
Yes.
Have you ever fallen asleep while driving?
Yes.
If you don't die in a car accident, I will be fucking surprised. I will. It's almost a lock. There should be a line in Vegas, germ-free car death. Even money. It's such a guarantee. It's fucking even money.
As much as you're making fun of me right now, I guarantee you when you get in your car tomorrow, you're going to say it. You're going to say it out loud.
I'm going to now. But Barb says when he drives, he looks at maps in his lap.
Oh,
he doesn't even look at the road.
Oh, boy.
And you drive in New Jersey. Deer are everywhere. If you take your eyes off the road, a fucking deer could take you out. You could take
that. That's a very scary situation.
Now, wait. Let me ask you something about this. If you say it, you get into a car accident, and the other person dies, do you feel like it worked?
It worked for me. It didn't work for that person.
But
that
you'll
person
will you it. Will you feel like you are your protocol holds up at that point?
Absolutely.
Wow. So it's very selfish.
And I guarantee you, tomorrow morning you will be saying that, and everybody who's listening to it will be saying this as well.
What are the chances I'm going to die in a car accident?
Yeah. So you have me to thank. All right.
That's it, everybody. You know what? You have Frank to thank.
You should thank me for saving your lives.
Yeah, just like we should thank you when we cross in front of your car. I don't think it's going to happen. This concludes episode 220 of the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for tuning in. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything we've ever done. Go to HearUsTalk.com. Monday and Thursdays, Best in Show Radio. Friday night, 9:30 to 12:30, The What Show. That's HearUsTalk.com. Frank, do you have anything you want to say?
But this is us! Yeah, no. You're talking to a fucking sign! I'm gonna kick all your friends' ass! Outside? Wani! Hey, Ken, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes. You're an asshole! Appreciate it, homeboy. Shit, I can't even fit out another damn window! It's a fucking snooze! Fuckface! Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
Go suck banana, fuck you.